All right. Well, as you may have sensed, we're continuing our series on money. We started that last week. Somebody said, well, finally we got some big money in church. And so I'm having just a ball printing off money. I mean, last week we printed that off. That was kind of cool. And then today you all got paid to come into church. Everybody got their dollar bill? If you take out your dollar bill, just go ahead and smell it. We've scented it. It's mint. Get it? See what I did there, right? You're going to need one of these, all right? So make sure you hang on to this. This is not play money. It's not real money either, but this isn't just for your kids. We'll make reference to it as we go along. Because what we want to talk about exactly is the word that's printed on this dollar bill, and that is enough. I want you to think about the times in your life, circumstances, when you have to say enough to yourself. For me, I'm thinking of a buffet, like not just any ordinary buffet, but a classy buffet with just all kinds of wonderful food. It is so hard to say enough. The problem, of course, is if you don't say enough, you come away, despite the fact that it's marvelous food, you come away thinking, oh, what have I done? There has to be a moment where you say enough. Maybe you're at a party, and you're the life of the party, and man, you have jokes and wisecracks all over the place, and you just want to keep it going until finally you say something that in the moment you think might be funny, and it turns out it isn't. And you realize you forgot to say to yourself, enough. Sometimes enough is just mandated, right? I think when I was a kid, I mean, vacations, you wanted to last forever. You wanted just to be, I mean, and back then, we just vacationed in a canvas tent. And so camping was over either when your parents said it was over or it started to rain, right? And it's just enough. That was it. But enough can be a difficult concept. Enough can be hard, hard, hard to say when it's just got to arise out of your own wisdom, out of your own heart, out of your own mind. And of course, especially with money. Because it seems that you can never have enough money. I mean, that just seems reasonable, doesn't it? So I commented last week that preachers, my impression is that sometimes that preachers, when they're preaching about money, seem so negative about it. But in handling our money, as you handle your money, persons, all of us in the pew, we also can make handling our money negative as well. Because we haven't learned to say enough. And Jesus illustrates that in several ways. He instructs us that in the matter of asking how much is enough, we can answer that question in not only negative ways, but destructive ways. In ways that actually ruin our lives, as reasonable, as logical as those answers might be. And so, I want you to hold this dollar bill. Just hold it in front of you as we go through these lessons of what Jesus taught us in terms of learning to say enough. I think these are such important lessons. The first is this. If you're asked the question, how much is enough? The temptation might be to simply answer, I don't know, but I didn't get my fair share. And that negative response, Jesus teaches us, feeds greed. It feeds the greed within us. Even though it might sound so justified. I mean, fairness is everybody's claim. I didn't get my fair share. And how can you argue against that? Except that Jesus teaches that it's not about fair share. Listen, I love this passage because we always imagine Jesus being such a gentle, wonderful, kind, congenial person. In Luke chapter 12, we get this little, just brief little story. He's been teaching the crowd. Jesus has been teaching the crowd. It's evidently impressed someone. They think, whoa, this guy, he's got words of authority. I bet you he could fix the problems in my life. So someone in the crowd, verse 13, chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And I love Jesus' response. Jesus replies, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? In other words, he said, get lost. And then he said to them, to everybody else, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. I'm just startled by Jesus' response. Because it very well may have been that the man had a legitimate claim. That seems like a pretty innocent request. Hey, God, Jesus, things aren't going well in the family. And there's an inheritance. And we don't know how to split it up. My brother's being a hog. And Jesus simply says, get lost, man. I'm not your fix-it man for every time you have something unfair that happens in your life. I'm blown away by that. Because the point that Jesus is trying to make is beware of greed that robs you of your life, even if you think it's your fair share. Life isn't about what you have, nor is it even about what you might deserve. Enough money is not about your fair share. It's about recognizing all of the free gifts that are given to you by God, who provides for you. See, in our situation, I'm sure you've never said this, but you've heard people say, oh, if only I could win the lottery, then. We have to teach ourselves to say, we've already won the lottery. The circumstances in our lives, most of us are tremendously blessed. We've already won the lottery. We've already been given extravagant gifts from God that we didn't deserve. Can you see that? Can you recognize the blessings that you get from God every day? Not only, in fact, not only do we receive free gifts from God on a daily basis, but our very life hangs in the balance. Depending on God's grace, that's what we just celebrated in baptism. It's not a matter of getting what we deserve, because if we got our fair share, death would be the end of us. What we're celebrating today is that we didn't get our fair share. We got more. We got what we didn't deserve. We got salvation. We got the love of God that gives us life and the fullness of life forevermore. That's what we believe. And it's not fair. But if that doesn't spur you on with a deep thankfulness, with some sense of gratitude of, wow, that that's amazing, you won't ever be able to say enough. And if you aren't able to say enough, you'll always be making the accusation that life isn't fair and it's a miserable way to live. To the question, how much is enough? We might also be tempted to say, I don't know, but more always seems better. And that's a response that's almost automatic for us because it is so culturally ingrained in us. More is better. Well, we say less is more, but only in the anticipation of the more. Because it seems like the way we live is rooted in more. I mean, imagine an economy that doesn't assume more. Imagine a corporation that doesn't assume more. How will it exist? I remember a time when my income was a third of what it is now. And at the time, I also remember thinking, man, if I made double my income, I would have it made. Now I make three times my income. And I'm still always running to catch up, it seems. It's so entirely ingrained in us. More always seems better. And what a negative way to live. Because you chase around for more, more, more. And when the end comes, all that more doesn't benefit you in the least, which is why Jesus tells this next story right after the story we just read of the brother with the inheritance. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain, notice the ground, not a rich man, but the ground of a certain rich man, because ground belongs to God. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, because he thought it was his, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you've plenty of grain laid up for many, many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And that's how it's going to be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. See, the trouble with more is better, with that assumption that more is always better, the trouble with that is that it's so logical. It makes sense in our conditioned minds. I mean, I walk into a Costco, right? Or those wholesale stores. Yep. How do those places work? How do they sustain themselves? So much inventory. Imagine how much they gotta sell. And I think about it, and I think, yeah, but it makes sense if you assume that more is better. Because you can walk down the aisle, and there's like a whole shelf, a whole aisle length of coffee cans. And so when you go in there, and you go to Costco, and you run along, and you think, whoa, there's so many, I might as well take five of them. And then just because you went into Costco to buy one can of coffee, you come out taking $250 worth of groceries. How does that work? It works because we think more is always better. Our thinking is that if I don't have more now, I might not have enough then. In which case, I'll have to depend on someone else. And so we assume more is better. More, we say, creates independence. And that's what we treasure. More, we say, creates freedom. And that's what we desire. The key here, of course, is that it's not a matter of more, it's a matter of being rich before God. In other words, Jesus points out what this man didn't realize was that more had nothing to do with the ultimate destiny of his life, which was about being rich before God. Now be careful. Because being rich before God, with our conditioned minds of more is always better, easily translates into wanting more of God. But God is not a possession. You can't have more of God. It doesn't mean having a lot of God. It doesn't mean having a lot even of knowledge of God, because knowledge of God doesn't mean that you know God. It doesn't even mean having a lot of faith in God, as if more is better. Because Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed is enough. No, rich before God is knowing God as a friend. Being rich before God is friendship with God. Knowing God as the master of your life. Knowing God as the savior of your life. When you're friends with the one who provides you with everything you'll ever need, and provides you, on top of that, with the fullness of life everlasting, then you can say, enough. Otherwise, you're going to live constantly with the desire for more, and you'll be chasing forevermore. Life is defined not by more, but by God, knowing him. To the question, how much is enough? You might also be tempted to say, it's enough when I can take care of myself. And perhaps this answer to when is enough enough isn't so negative as it is simply dangerous. When you say enough is when I can take care of myself, what are you saying about yourself? Who do you think you are? Taking care of yourself means constant worry about enough. But if you have a great provider, if you have one who takes care of your every need, then worry about enough is simply no concern. Reading on, Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. Ravens. They're not a pretty bird. Like crows. Consider the ravens. They don't sow. They don't reap. They have no storeroom. They have no barn. Yet, God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? To say enough is enough is to know who you are. It's to know what defines you. It's about knowing your identity. On the one hand, you are utterly dependent. Whether you acknowledge it or not, you are helplessly needy. It's how we come into the world. And quite often, it's how we exit the world. But that fact in and of itself doesn't stand alone. Because on the other hand, you are precious. You are more precious than anything else in all of creation for which God provides. You're a treasure for God. Don't you think He'll take care of you? He wants to be your treasure. But not if you can't say enough to the good gifts that He offers you and humbly receive from God who wants to be your friend. And so Jesus concludes this whole lesson with the famous words, verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Think about that phrase. We often think of treasure in terms of money. That's not what this is saying. It's not where your money is, that's where your heart is. That would suck. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, anticipates the question, what is your treasure? What is it? What is it? What is your treasure? Don't you think that treasure ought to be God Himself? Isn't that where our hearts ought to be? So thank God for His great, enormous gifts. Know God as your friend and receive all things humbly. And you'll be able to say, I have enough. I have enough. I am content. And you can live that life of contentment in true joy and real freedom. So take a look at your dollar bill. I guess if you're my age or thereabouts, you're going to recognize you used to handle this as real money, right? We don't have these anymore because we have the loonies, but maybe stick this in your wallet, somewhere where you can remind yourself every once in a while, thanks God, I have enough. I can live in contentment. Let this dollar bill with the word enough on it, let it remind you that life's not about your fair share. And life is not about simply more. And life is not about making it on your own. Learn to say enough. Learn to say enough with gratitude for God's great gifts. Learn to say enough with the desire to love God. Learn to say enough with the eagerness of making God your treasure, because you are His treasure. Let's pray together. God, sometimes we're so frantic, so anxious about our lives because we worry about whether we have enough. Indeed, some of us don't. And then, Father, we pray that we will have the faith to trust that you will provide. And for the rest of us, give us the compassion and the sense of mercy to share with those in need. Remind us of what our life is about. And so, God, we offer our hearts to you today. For where our treasure is, there our hearts are also. We give you our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.